What's going on, fantasy basketball fans? Welcome to the Score Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm Waiver Wire Queen. If you're looking for great players to add week 20 via the waiver wire to help you run up the score in a points-based league and beat your competition, stay right here. I got some great players for you to consider adding this week.
Welcome to The Score, Fantasy Basketball Podcast, where you get great advice on how to stay ahead of your competition here in these fantasy basketball streets. Now, the dopest analyst in fantasy basketball, Waiver Wire Queen.
Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you enjoy listening to the podcast, we are available on all major podcasting platforms. That is Spotify, Apple, Google. We are out here in these fantasy basketball streets. Let's jump right into it. You're looking to stay ahead of your competition. In order to do that, you got to run up the score in a points-based league and outscore your opponent. And that's what we're going to do by adding some of these players to help you week 20. Some players are out. You know, Chris Paul is dealing with an injury. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Lonzo Ball is still out. You know, some heavy hitters still out. KD, I mean, you got to find players on the waiver wire who is more than capable of scoring points and helping your team win. Let's talk about Jackson Hayes, forward slash center with the Pelicans. He was elevated to the starting lineup week 19. And you must remember that anytime he has been given the opportunity to start or has seen increased minutes, he has performed very well and with more minutes because Devontae Graham is on the damn bench. Hayes is going to help your team. This young player is efficient and he's available on waivers. He's rostered in over 31 to 32% of Yahoo leagues. He's averaged between 16 and 18 fantasy points on the season, and that was with limited minutes for the most part. However, that should increase as long as he is seeing the minutes, which he is starting to see those minutes, and he performs well, which he has been doing. So that's going to be a positive for us because those two things, opportunity and he's performing, fantasy points will increase. And so if he is available, I encourage you to pick him up, especially in a deep league, because he will help your team. He's averaging 8.7 points on the season, 3.9 rebounds, and he's shooting over 64% from the field, which means he is hitting most of his shots and he's efficient. Let's keep it real. He hitting them shots right there in the paint, okay? He ain't stretching the floor, but we don't care. He is still efficient around the basket. And guess what? That's what we want. That is the kind of production we expect from a player we are picking up off of waivers. He's also a great add in DFS because his salary is low as hell, okay? I'm using him in one of my FanDuel team, so consider him, y'all. Over the last three games, he has performed very, very well. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 1 block, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 1 block. The young man has produced, and when a player is given an opportunity and they're performing, guess what? Coach is going to keep playing him, and he's most likely going to continue to produce. And we want in on any player that has the opportunity and they are producing, okay? And again, if you got Devontae Graham, just move on from him. Drop him because guess what? It's a wrap. It's a wrap for him. So let's talk about Cameron Payne. I know he's out right now. He hopefully is going to come back before Chris Paul returns because Chris Paul is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm only mentioning Cameron Payne because at the end of the day, if he does return, he will be that guy in the starting lineup. He's rostered in over 41% of leagues. He's averaging between 19 and 21 fantasy points on the season. He averages over 10.5 points per game and 3.6 assists, which is solid for a backup. If he returns, he will be the starter. So if you are considering Aaron Holiday or Elfrid Payton, just remember that is going to be a extremely short-term solution, especially if Payne returns. And I honestly feel like, you know, people are going back and forth. Is it going to be Holiday? Is it going to be Payton? Who the hell knows? I feel like Payton has more experience and is a proven pro, so he will get the first crack at it. If he performs well, he will continue to see those minutes until Payne returns. However, if Payton gets out there and he stink it up, he's going to be on that bench, and then Aaron Holiday is definitely going to see that role until Payne returns. But again, if you decide to go with Payton or Holiday and either one of them produces for your team, just know it's only going to be for the period leading up until Payne returns. Now, if Payne does not come back before Chris Paul comes back, then you already know. If you go with Payton and he performs, he will continue to see that role. But again, it's short term for these guys. And I don't want you to invest too much in them, because again, at the end of the day, you simply do not know which guard they're going to go with until Payne is capable of returning. However, if they're using the logic I'm hoping they're using, they're going to go with the veteran and give him the first crack at it and see if he's able to perform. They just added Holiday to their team, and he really didn't do so great with the Pacers. So I'm hoping that Payton is given that opportunity. He's not a great shooter, but he'll be able to do some things, okay? He's going to rebound the ball, get you some steals, get you some assists. He's capable of getting you one of those low-volume triple-doubles. Not every night, but it's going to be more like, I got 10 points, maybe 10 rebounds, 10 assists. And it's not a every night thing, but what I'm saying is he is capable of stuffing the stat sheet. And that's what we want from a player that we are considering in the short term. Again, I would wait and see what the Suns do. But if you simply cannot wait and you have to pick up one of these guys, my gut is saying Payton. But again, what do I know, right? Go on and just wait a second, guys, and just see what they do. But again, it will be short term. Let's talk about Derrick Rose. He is out still dealing with that. He's recovering from ankle surgery. Let's be real. The Knicks, it's a wrap. The season is over. So the fact that we already know Tibbs is going to elevate Rose to the starting lineup, or once Rose returns, he is still going to see at least 25 minutes per game, taking away minutes from younger players who they should be considering as players to play so they can see what the hell they have on their roster. But no, they're not going to do that, which is why I say Derrick Rose is still a player you can look at. He's rostered in 24% of leagues. Remember, he hasn't returned yet from ankle surgery, but he is close. And so, again, it's Tibbs. He loved Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose going to eat up those minutes. Kemba Walker, he's not playing anymore this season. You should have been done traded him months ago or released him several weeks ago, because just ain't it. It's time for him to hang it up. But nonetheless, I would love for the Knicks to play Emmanuel Quickley more and Quentin Grimes. I want to see these young players play. And also Cam Reddish. You're not going anywhere. So what the hell are you doing out there? You're putting Rose out there who's returning from a serious ankle injury, which required surgery. And he's going to take up the minutes from the young guys. Quickly, at times, will still be capable of getting his points, but it's going to be one of those nail biters where he's in the fourth quarter and you're like, okay, finally, he's going to give me the points I was expecting. I wouldn't even waste my time doing that. The guard to add will be between Burks and Rose, and it'll be up and down. Burks has had times this season where he's played very well, and then times where he hasn't, and then the minutes decrease. I don't know what the hell they doing out there, okay? What I feel they should do again is go with Quickley and Grimes. You know, Grimes, he's playing the forward spot. But nonetheless, he still can be slotted in as a guard if your league format is set up a certain way. I still think Grimes will have some value at the forward spot quickly. I do not trust his value because, again, with Tibbs, it's going to be Rose and Burks, which is why I'm saying add Rose, because he played well at times when he was healthy on the season. It's going to get you. He was getting you between 23, 24 fantasy points, 12 points a game, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, was shooting a decent percentage from the field, especially threes, which we all know hasn't been the greatest throughout his career. But nonetheless, this season, not so bad. Again, if the Knicks finally decide to wake up and smell the no playoff situation that they are currently in and going to be, they're not making the playoffs, they will let quickly and Grimes play. And if they do get to that point, then I would say pick up quickly. I really do believe they need to start using Cam a bit more. You traded for this young 3-and-D guy and you're not using him. But that's for another episode, y'all. But nonetheless, Derrick Rose, guys, check for him. Again, if you can pick him up and he's capable of getting you between 24 to 25 fantasy points in a points-based league, then that is great value for a player on your bench. And again, if they do decide to come to terms with the fact that they are not going anywhere, then maybe they will play the younger guys and just say, okay, Rose, we're going to let you sit this one out. Then look at quickly, because he's a solid young player and he's capable of getting us what we need in fantasy if he's given the minutes. But the minutes are all over the place, okay? So, again, look at Derrick Rose. Let's talk about Alfred Sengun, center with the Rockets. Great add in DFS, okay? Salary is low. He is backing up Christian Wood, which it's fine. They moved on from Daniel Theis, and now he is exclusively the backup, so he's going to see those minutes. And you got to understand that at times he hasn't really played much throughout the season. His minutes have been kind of up and down, but he's still capable of averaging on the season between 20 and 21 fantasy points. So now being an exclusive backup, and at times you'll see them out there together, he is a nice add short term. If Wood wants to get hurt, then his value will go up. He's definitely good for DFS because his salary is low as hell, especially if you can't find a center that you feel is going to get you the points you need based on the salary, because say you don't want to spend $11,000 on Joker and you want to just go with some, you know, cheap salary center, which is fine. But he's rostered in 37% of leagues. He averages 8.7 points and 4.8 rebounds. And again, that is decent production for a player who has had an inconsistent role because they had other players there. Now that some of those players are no longer there, he has a more defined role, which helps your team on a game, on a night where you're playing your opponent and say you don't have anybody at the center spot to start and you're just needing points in a points-based league. And so he'll be able to get you that 20. So he's a player that you can look closely at. And again, short-term spot start situation. And what I mean by that is he's not someone you look at, oh, I'm going to just keep him on my roster and he's going to take up a spot, unless someone was to get hurt, then his minutes will increase drastically. But this situation is spot start situation, which means he may be able to help your team 1 or 2 games week 20, and then you move on, unless something changes within his role, and then you're like, okay, I can continue to play him. Let's talk about Raul Neto, guard with the Wizards. He's rostered in only 10% of leagues. He has seen an increase in minutes because Bradley Beal is out for the season. You know, they made a trade and Dinwiddie is no longer on the roster. So now you got to find a guard. Who's your guards? And he's a player who has started to play very well. He's
not good from threes right now, so don't even do it. He's shooting only 24% from threes, so I would not trust him in a categories-based league because he's going to bring your field goal percentages down. Although 45% from the field isn't bad, but when you're giving me 24% from threes as a guard, I'm going to just use you in a points-based league, and I'm going to keep you away from the categories basically. I'm expecting him to get me between 20 and 25 points. That is what I'm needing out of that position and that role at that salary. So I'm hoping that maybe he can squeeze a few more points. Again, I'm looking at a player who has the opportunity starting to produce, salary low. I'm looking for a certain amount of points in DFS, and I'm expecting him to exceed that. So low risk, potential high reward in DFS. And again, definitely in your fantasy league, he can help your team, especially if you have some guards who haven't returned yet. There's some guards who were still out and we're still waiting for them to return. And if you cannot get their backups who are going to start in their place or have been starting in their place, then he's a player that you can look at. Let's be real. Right now with the Phoenix situation, it's kind of like is it Payton? Is it Holiday? Because right now, Payne is out. We would know that it's going to be Payne if Payne was healthy, but right now we do not know. And so now you're like, well, is it this guy or is it that guy? You may want to stay away from a situation like that. And in that case, you can look at a player like Mito, who has performed well given his recent opportunity and increase and minutes and playing time. So definitely look closely at him. Isaiah Jackson, and I'm mentioning some players who are still out and haven't returned from the All-Star break due to some lingering injuries. We are hoping that Isaiah Jackson is close because he has played well. He's only rostered in 27% of Yahoo leagues. Okay, on a season, averages 13 fantasy points, throw that out the window. That was an average factored into the fact that he didn't play much at a point in time in the season. Since he has been given the opportunity to play more, he has produced. He's out right now, so what you got to think about in this situation is other managers are looking past him and like, oh, he's out. I'm not messing with him right now. He's going to be coming back really soon, and he's still going to have the opportunity because Miles Turner is still out, and he's a few weeks away from returning. And you also got to realize, where the hell are they going? This team is in rebuild, in my opinion. So I'm thinking like, well, we're going to wait with Miles Turner. Maybe they're going to take that approach. Take your time and you'll get to see a player like Isaiah Jackson play. So even though he is out right now with the injury, he has value. And once he returns, you don't want to wait for him to have one of those good games. And then, oh, now you want to rush to waivers and pick him up. And then someone else is ahead of you and they beat you to punch and pick him up first. So if you can afford to just add him because he'll be back really soon. Mason Plumlee has been playing very well since he has returned from injury. He's been very, very good. And I have him on my team, so I'm happy. I have him on my team in a sleeper league. And the beauty about him is the fact that he plays the forward and the center spot, which helps my team. I can utilize him in both slots, and he's going to shoot a high percentage from the field, and he's going to get me at least 8 rebounds, 7 points. That is all I'm looking for out of him when I want to utilize him. And these are for deep leagues. Some of these players, you're like, I'm only in a league with six teams total. In that case, you probably have access to players on waivers that most of us in these deep leagues would love to have access to, but the only way we're going to have access to is via trade, and ain't nobody trading for those players because it's going to be hard as hell to get them because you already know how teams are when it comes to certain players. But again, with Plumlee playing very well, good shooting percentages, and he's rebounding the ball, and he's going to score you at least 7 points. Very good add. I would love to see him elevate that up to a double-double. And that will make his value go up even more. He's rostered at 53% of Yahoo leagues. He's averaging between 23 and 24 fantasy points on the season. And again, forward/center. So he can play the forward spot for you or center. And that's going to help your team. Maybe not every night, but on most nights when you have players who, again, are out due to injuries, haven't performed well, or simply you just don't have a good player at the forward or center spot to play that night, then he may be able to help you. And what you're going to do, you're going to pick him up and let him help you out, okay? Even though they made the trade for Montez, guess what? Plumlee is still in the mix and playing well. And to me, he is an overall better player because he's going to be more efficient from the field and he's going to score the ball and rebound the ball. And for a center who's doing that and you pick him up off of waivers, that is great, great value, a good add. And he is a player you can use in most formats, categories-based or points-based. You can utilize him in all formats because, again, if it's a categories-based league, his field goal percentage is really good and he's rebounding the ball. So that's two categories he can potentially help your team. Boom. And then obviously in a points-based league, he's going to score the ball and he's going to rebound the ball. And that means he's going to help your team. Monty Morris is back in the building, y'all. Monty Morris is playing much better. And that's why he's on this list. He was out for 3 games with a concussion. Concussions are very serious. I dealt with a concussion. And I know what it's like to have to deal with that. And so glad he is healthy. Again, he is back. And I expect him to continue to play well. He is one of those players who is going to just score the ball and maybe get you a few assists, and that will average out on the season to 23, maybe 24 fantasy points, which isn't bad. He's rostered in 50% of leagues, which means, hey, you got a 50% chance of picking him up, and you should. As long as Jamal Murray is out, he has value. So why not pick him up? Hey. If there's a player on waivers, especially in a points-based league that's giving you 23, 24 fantasy points, that is a player you want on your team because guess what? We do not care how many points they get us because some points is better than no points. It's nothing like you neglecting your team and not starting someone, or someone gets you 0 points and you have a player like, say, Monty Morris, who could have helped your team, and he's on waivers, and then you lose by a few points. I mean, I've seen it all, and we want to avoid that. So if he can help your team, he is a player that you should be checking for because we want in on any player who stock is up. Right now, his stock is on the rise because, again, he is coming back from the injury, and he has played well for the most part of the season, and he's been one of the more consistent nuggets when healthy, okay? Prior to him going out with the whole COVID situation, he was very consistent. Came back, a little bit inconsistent. You're out. I know most of the players who had to go into the protocol, they had conditioning issues, and that is obviously something to expect, but he started picking it back up a notch, and then with the concussion, now he's back. Let's see what he can do. Okay, again, I'm expecting him to play like he was playing prior to going into the protocol due to COVID. On a season, he averages 12.7 points and 4.3 assists, which is not bad. And again, let's see what he does. He's had the all-star break to relax. Now he's back. Want to see what he does, and hopefully that Jamal Murray will return soon because they need Jamal Murray out there, y'all. I still think that even though with Monty Morris has had some issues, I feel like he's past that part now. Now we're going to talk about some players that you should keep an eye on. So let me get ready to share my screen with you guys. Got a few players that will definitely help your team. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you enjoy listening to the podcast, make sure you check us out on all major podcasting platforms. We're on Spotify, Apple. We're out here in these streets. Let's get ready to pull up this PowerPoint because I have some players I want to talk about that you should keep an eye on, and then some players who are injured who who may be able to return this season. And if they can return, they'll definitely have value and help your team. Jalen Smith forward with the Pacers right now with Jackson out. Turner is still several weeks away. Smith just added to the Pacers. He has some short-term value, in my opinion, for as long as Jackson is out. And again, we're hoping that Jackson can return because I think he has been performing better than Smith. But again, with Smith, hasn't had much opportunity. But when given the opportunity, when he was with the Suns, he played fairly well. But again, Jackson is the guy we want. But right now, Jalen Smith has some short-term value. Kenrich Williams has been playing very well over the last several games. He's injured right now, but he's close to returning. And again, we don't want to wait till the player returns from injury, has a great game, and now we're trying to rush to the waiver wire to add that player. And now we're competing with several other managers. So if you can make room for a player like this, by all means, do so. Dante DiVincenzo is another great add. His stock is up. Traded from the Bucks to the Kings, and he has seen an increase in minutes. Again, right now, his shooting percentages are really not that great, but again, missed pretty much half of the first. Again, he missed pretty much most of the first half of the season and just kind of in and out of the lineup once he did return for the Bucks. Now this is a fresh start for him. He's healthy. Let's see what he can do. He's a much better three-point shooter than what his stats show so far this season. And again, the Kings like him. So let's check for him. Chris Duarte, one of my favorites, definitely a great add. He is only rostered in maybe over 50% of Yahoo leagues. He's injured, dealing with a toe injury. Thought he would return back already, but he's still out. When he returns, he is going to produce. He is a part of their future going forward. And I like that little young core. And I expect him to produce. And just keep in mind, on the Yahoo platform, he is considered a guard slash forward sleeper, just guard. But nonetheless, you have some flexibility in the Yahoo platform because he can play both positions, sleeper, the guard position. But nonetheless, either platform, he has great value and he should be on your radar. Avika Zubac, one of my favorite centers in the NBA. He's playing very well. Came back from injury a few games ago, playing extremely well on the season. Damn it, averaging a double-double. He is an efficient shooter from the field, and he's a player that you should be checking for if he is available on waivers. Jonathan Kuminga, this young, talented rookie, should have went higher. And I just want to say this. What the hell were the Timberwolves thinking when they traded a number one pick? What was it? Protected up to what, number four? You've been picking in the top four for the last damn decade, and you trade away a number one pick to one of the best teams in the league for a player who simply has not been healthy enough since you traded for him. But nonetheless, Jonathan Kuminga is a very, 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 very good young player. Definitely a great player in Dynasty League. They have given him the opportunity. He has found a role with the Warriors. Most teams don't really have a role for a rookie when you have a lot of great veterans. But with some injuries, Kuminga has been given the opportunity to play, and he has performed. I tell you one thing, the Warriors' future is bright as hell with Kuminga, okay, and Wiseman and Moody. That is awesome. In a dynasty league, Jonathan Kuminga should be on your radar. It's only a matter of time before he's taking Andrew Wiggins' starting spot. I'm going to say it. I feel like long term, he has this the better talent, in my opinion, long term. And I'm looking at future, and his salary is going to be obviously cheaper. But they obviously have made it work with Wiggins. He's an all-star. Congrats on that. But with Kuminga, what he's doing right now is play at least a minimum of 20 minutes. And you got to realize there are some players that are still out. I had him in a DFS Thursday. Salary is low, a little bit higher than what I wanted, but it worked for what I was trying to do with the team I was building. And I expected him to produce, and he did. And again, with Kuminga, he's just a player that has been seeing an increased amount of minutes due to players being injured and playing well as a rookie. However, his impact, however, his production is going to be hit or miss sometimes, because it's the damn Warriors. You got a lot of players, a lot of mouths to feed, but nonetheless, he has made it work. And I'm just expecting him to get me 20 fantasy points in my DFS. And I think he can do that, because again, with Draymond out and some other players not quite ready or there yet, Clay is still working his way. And then you also got Wiseman, who's still out. Kuminga can sometimes slide into the guard spot or either forward spot. And again, he's playing solid defense. And to me, he is more of a long-term ad in a dynasty league. You could take a chance on him in your regular fantasy league, but there are some other players who have a more consistent role. Like if I look at Chris Duarte and I'm comparing him in my fantasy league, and I have to decide which player I'm going to use and I feel has the more long-term value this season, it would be Duarte. Now, if I look at dynasty league versus the redraft, we know redraft right now, we're waiting for Duarte to come back, but he has more upside in a redraft. And then Kuminga has way more upside than, say, Duarte in a dynasty league. And I'm not talking about just in short term, I'm talking about long term, because at some point, the keys to that castle is going to be exchanged. It's going to be Steph and Clay handing those keys over to Moody, Kuminga, and Wiseman. So these guys are the future. And that's why in a dynasty league, I have Kuminga on my team. Some nights he's not able to play for me because I have some other players who are playing more minutes and producing more. But again, with Kuminga, just keep in mind that there's going to be some nights he may not get you the points you want because they have a lot of mouths to feed out there. But if it's a blowout, then Kuminga has some good value, and Moody has great value as well, especially when it's a blowout. But what we do know is Kuminga has the trust of Steve Kerr more than Moody right now, which is why Kuminga is a short-term spot start player, especially if you see players like when Steph and Clay are resting, Draymond is out. When those guys are out or resting or whatever the case may be, then you know that Kuminga's value will increase drastically. But again, it may be hit and miss sometimes, which is why I have him as a keep an eye out. But be mindful that it's going to be hit or miss, and it's short-term value. It's going to be inconsistent, and he's a player you add in a deep, deep league. If you are in a team in a league that has maybe 8 teams, he's not a player I would recommend. But if it's a deep league, he has produced for the most part and should be a player that you consider adding. Let's talk about Ayo. I like to call him Ayo. Ayo has been playing his tail off too for the Bulls. Again, Ball and Caruso is still out. He's only rostered in over 50% of leagues, slightly over 50% of leagues. It should be much higher with what he has done. He's averaging over 11 points per game, 6.5 assists per game, shooting a good percentage from threes and the field. And he simply has been playing well ever since he's been given an opportunity. And he was elevated over Kobe White. If he's available, utilize him until his value decreases. His value will go down once Ball and Caruso return. So just keep that in mind. Isaiah Roby is a player you definitely need to take a look at. That's forward with the OKC. Getting an opportunity. Again, we are looking at players who are getting an opportunity. He's getting an opportunity in the last game he went off. So he's a player to keep an eye out for. Don't just run and pick him up. Let's just see what else he can do. Trendon and Drew are players that you should definitely check for in the Blazers. Trendon is playing the forward spot. Drew is the only damn center on that roster. You know, Nurkic is pretty much out dealing with some foot issues. Maybe they're going to shut him down. I don't know. He's had it. History of injuries. They are going nowhere. They know that, which is why they have made some trades. And right now, I want to say that Trendon is the guy, but we'll just have to see, because are they really going to play him at the center spot? He's already on the roster, has already been backing up Nurkic for the last several weeks, with Drew just signed to the team. And I'm going to go with Trendon as the player that they would most likely give the first crack at it. And if he plays well, then he will continue to see those minutes. But if he's stinking up, he's going to be right there on the end of that damn bench. And then Drew going to be in there. But again, that's just how I'm thinking based on, you know, if I was a coach, I'm going to give the guy who was already here and knows the system pretty well, I'm going to give him the first opportunity. But again, you know, I'm waiver wire queen, so I can't say what the hell they're going to do, but they better do something. And injured players, they may return, right? Honestly, I don't know if any of these guys are going to return. James Wiseman expected him to return. He's rostered in 32% of leagues. With James Wiseman, I feel that they may just be taking their time with him because they're, what, second in the Western Conference, playing very well. They can afford for him to take his time and make sure he is healthy. Do you see the amount of weapons the Warriors have? They got a whole lot of damn players on that team. And Wiseman is a luxury, in my opinion. Jamal Murray, rostered at 32% of leagues. Again, Monty Murray is the guard. Monty Morris is the guy to add right now in that backcourt in Denver, until Jamal Murray can return. And we are hoping he can, because that is great, great production that we need. I have him in one of my IL spots, and I'm hoping so much that he's able to return. Leonard, honestly, I don't think he's going to return, but you've heard some rumblings about he may return. I'm going to say allegedly he may return. We don't know if he can. He's obviously a player you want to snatch up if you have IL spots, whether that is in Yahoo, the IL or the IL plus spot. He's a player that you just slot in there, gives you another roster spot. And if he returns this season and can say you're in the playoffs and helps you in the playoffs, you got a guy who is arguably a top 10 fantasy player when healthy. We don't leave those players on waivers. I don't care what they say. Once they started talking about, hey, what if he returns? He may return. Oh, let me go pick him up and put him in that IL spot. And then Michael Porter Jr., dealing with a back injury, missed rookie season with this back injury. I had some high expectations for Michael Porter Jr. This season, got the contract, played very well last year during the regular season, kind of fell off a little bit in the playoffs. I expected him to really take it to the next level this season. Injury, dealing with that back. They say he's allegedly close. I'm hoping that he's close because I have him in my IL spot and I can use that production. Remember, he was averaging what? He averaged 20 points last season, maybe 7 rebounds. That's great production. And again, when you are projecting a player like that to take it to the next level, I was predicting maybe he would increase his points to 23 points per game, maybe 10 rebounds, a double-double guy. But again, he has to get healthy. Health is wealth. Availability is the most important thing. If a player is capable of getting you 25 fantasy points, but they are always out, he has no real value to your team because he's on IL. His points is just pretty much non-existent because he's not playing. But we're going to hope that at least one or two of those guys is able to come back because all of those guys are capable of producing. Wiseman, if we look at the four in regards to production, Wiseman would be fourth on that list production-wise. However, just imagine if you have Kawhi and he come back and you had a whole player maybe selected in the first round or early second round just available to you. That will elevate your team. But again, this is a long shot for those players to return. We're hoping they do. I sure as hell hope they do, and I know you do. All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. And again, if you enjoy listening to the podcast, go and support the podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google. Again, we are out here in these fantasy basketball streets everywhere. Again, tune in next week on Friday, where we'll have more great players to consider helping your team run up the score so you can stay ahead of your competition and win every week. And most importantly, win your league. Y'all have a great evening. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Score, Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to The Score for more fun and great advice on how to win at fantasy basketball. And if you've got comments or questions about The Score, send them to waiverwirequeen@gmail.com. The Score.